Turn the mic off. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. That's where we're going to start tonight. Of Revelation 3. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You know, there's a number of related words that come from the same word. Apathy is a word that has basically two Greek or two words, Latin, Greek related. No passion. No pathos. No passion. Think of Christ as he... I saw the multitudes. The Bible says he was moved with compassion. Well, compassion is the word com, Latin, with. You know, passion with others. Identifying with the passions of others. The Laodicean church would probably be considered apathetic. They weren't hot. They weren't cold. They were lukewarm. They didn't really have any passion. They were apathetic. Under communism, there is different degrees of persecution, different degrees of resistance to Christianity. In the 1980s, Sammy Tippett and his friend decided to go to Russia to witness, to spread the gospel. They didn't have any contacts in Russia. They both memorized their testimonies in Russian, got a bunch of tracts, boarded a plane for Leningrad, and arrived at the Leningrad airport. And there, a tour guide, i.e. a Secret Service person, greeted them and said that they would be glad, he would be glad to take them anywhere they wanted and show them the sights of the country. They said, no thanks. The next day they went to church. The only Baptist church in Leningrad, a city of 1 million people, it was full. And the singing was enthusiastic. The preaching was biblical. But 70% or more of all the people were over 65 or 70. And it was very obvious that, in one generation, Christianity would be extinct in Russia, possibly. And the next day, they decided they tried to figure out where they would go to witness. And they decided they would go to the University of Leningrad. And so... they found out the University of Leningrad had many different branches. And by the grace of God, people gave them the directions to University of Leningrad, the linguistics college. And that was just perfect because at a linguistics college, people would know how to speak English. So Sammy Tippett and his friend were kind of wandering in the university, big university building there, and they saw one fella sitting alone. And so they went to this person, and they both gave him their testimonies and the gospel. And this man said, you know, I was raised being taught by my parents that there was no God. I was taught in school that there was no God. And I was taught by communism that there is no God. He says, but you know, recently I began thinking about the orderliness of the universe, and I began to thinking maybe there is a God. And he said, just 2 weeks ago, I prayed a prayer and I said, God, would you, if you are real, would you send someone to tell me about you? And here you are. That man, young man, got saved right there. And he said to Sammy and his friend, he had many more of those pamphlets, and he took a bunch of the pamphlets, and he said, I'll be back. And in a few minutes, he came back with a whole bunch of his friends. And a whole bunch of university students surrounded Sammy, and he was explaining to them about Christ. And a whole bunch of students were surrounded to his friend Mark, and he was explaining to them, telling them about Jesus Christ. And lo and behold, in just a few minutes, a number of KGB police officers came and arrested them. And they were taken in for interrogation. They were interrogated for 8.5 hours. And every half hour, they would get a new team of two interrogators that would interrogate them. And they thought that was pretty good, because every 2 hours, they got to witness to two new interrogators from the KJV. And, of course, though, they were pressing the point that there's supposed to be religious freedom in Russia, and they were told that they had to write a confession of their crimes, and so Sammy wrote out his testimony about how when he was 18, a man told him about Jesus Christ and how he was saved, and gave the plan of salvation, and told them how they needed to be saved and that how they could be saved. And that wasn't really very pleasing to the KJB, in fact, in the middle of this interrogation, there was a moment in which a university official was with them alone as the two interrogators were changing. You know, two were leaving and two were coming, and he leaned over and picked up one of his tracts and put it in his pocket and said, "I'll read this later." But their tickets were taken away, and everything, their cash, and they were threatened to be put in prison, and they were put on a train, and they didn't know where they would be sent. But the next day they woke up, and they were in Helsinki, Finland, in freedom. But the communists said to them, yes, there's freedom of religion in Russia. We consider people have freedom to be a Christian, but we consider it a disease. And if you want the disease, you can have the disease, but it is wrong to spread the disease. And you have been spreading this disease, and in America, they arrest people who are selling heroin. And you have spread the opium of Christianity in our country, and you, and this is not allowed. Well, in Russia, and in those places, and of course, that is returning in Russia today. In Russia, the whole purpose of and whole philosophy of communism was that the key was that Christianity would not be spread. They did not want anything about Jesus Christ to be spread among the people. And so people were free to go to church, but they were not free to spread the gospel. You know, in the West, we're free to spread the gospel. But the problem is, most of us are apathetic about it. Most of us are apathetic about the spreading of the gospel. Most of us are sleeping. We're sleeping. Time and opportunity are passing away, and the gospel isn't being spread. Why are we sleeping? I'm thinking of the disease of sleeping. Think of that that verse there in Proverbs: "Slothfulness has cast thee into a deep sleep." You know, every once in a while, there's something to do, and you know, when there's something to do, it's time to get up, and it's time to wake out of sleep and get moving, right? Well, you know, when you sleep and there's something to do, there's two things that happen. You're wasting time and you're losing the opportunity to get something done. And Ephesians, that passage of Scripture we have memorized, "Awake, thou that sleepest." Think of the parable. And it said that while they slept, the enemy spread, sowed his seeds. While they slept. And it's a problem. In different places of the world, the devil has made it difficult for people to spread the gospel. And so people are content. They were under communism, content to go to church. But they didn't spread the gospel. Now, the underground church said, "We're going to spread the gospel no matter what the cost." And that's where the underground church came into being. It wasn't underground in any sense of the word. It was the persecuted church, because they were openly witnessing for Christ. But you know, as you look at the church at Laodicea, we'd have to say that, you know, there's a church that's apathetic. And of course, we have God's opinion about it. He said, "Because you're apathetic, you're lukewarm," he said, "you make me sick." That's what he said, "I'll spew thee out of thy mouth." And we don't want to go into any details about that, but it's flu season. And he said, "You make me sick." Now, we don't like to hear that, but God recognizes that there's a very fatal and serious problem that we all face, and that is that we are surrounded in many places in America because of our affluence and because of materialism. We are surrounded by apathy. Now, I think there's some reasons that we become apathetic. I think that we become apathetic when we fall asleep being entertained. You know, America is all about entertainment, isn't it? The movie industry, the music industry, the sports industry. I mean, everybody is, and now we have the video game industry, you know, and now you got the texting industry. And, you know, it's, but, boy, you know, as long as people can be entertained, just think of how much time is taken up in people's lives by entertainment. Just think of how many young people will spend hours and hours and hours on playing a video game. Or how many young people that the Christian family thing is, you know, turn on a video, you know, and be entertained. And how many times that, that kind of living is just, the big part of our life. And just think of all the time that's being wasted. You know, how much are you getting done when you spend 2-3 hours, you know, watching this video? How much time are you, what are you getting accomplished when you sit down and park yourself in front of a TV? What are you accomplishing, you know, when, the new craze, you know, texting. You know, they, wherever you go, people, they're sitting in the airport, wherever they're going, just texting, hours and hours and hours. And, you know, it's, I think it's a form of self-entertainment. That's what I think it is. But what's happening? Time is being wasted, isn't it? Time is being wasted. Time is being wasted. That is accomplishing nothing. Nothing. The Bible says, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. And you know, the devil is just glad to have us fall asleep, wasting away our life, texting. Now, there's some people, maybe it isn't that. Maybe there's some other type of entertainment, some other type of sports activity. And, you know, that just fills their time. And life wastes away. Now, some people a little bit more energetic than that. And so they're spending their whole time, you know, making money. And at the end of life, they're going to have made a lot of money. And that's what's going to have consumed their time. Their time is going to be consumed with making money. And what will they have done for God? What will they have done for God? What will they have done in spreading the gospel? You know, obviously, one of the great wasters of lives today is worldliness. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The world has such an attraction today. And what does it do? It attracts people's heart and their soul and takes their passion away. And they spend their life accomplishing nothing for God. And you know what? You can see a young person. They're pursuing the things of the world and their passion is gone. Nothing stirs them. God's word doesn't stir them. They're just spiritually sleeping. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. As we think of the new year, this is a good time for us to catch a hold of time. Catch a hold of time. Are we wasting our time? Are we wasting the precious time, the hours of our life, the days of our life? And our life will soon be over. Right? Our life will soon be over. And you know, every one of us have the same amount of time in a day. Every one of us have 60 seconds in every minute. Every one of us have 60 minutes in an hour. Every one of us have 24 hours. Every one of us have the same amount of time in a day. And every day, one of the great issues of the day is, are we going to capture the time that we have and use it for God, or are we going to waste our time? And we need to identify the time wasters in our life, the things that waste our time. And so that it fills our time. And so the real thing that the devil wants to accomplish gets accomplished, which is not to use our time for God. Not to use our time for God. And you know, we need to be awakened. Much of Christianity is sleeping. Much of Christianity is not using its time for God. Much of Christianity has fallen asleep. And it is just another trick of the devil to keep the word of God from being spread. What can we do? What can we do to get our passion restored? What can we do to get our passion restored? I think that one of the things we need to do to get our passion restored is that we need to get a fresh look at the Great Commission. We need to get a fresh look at the Great Commission. We get a renewed sense of our duty to spread the gospel. Of course, that simple verse that is so profound, Mark 16:15, he said to them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, I find that when I take my eyes off of the obligation that we have to get the gospel to every creature, I find that I can get real content just passing out a tract here or there. I can not only get content passing out a tract here and there, but I can get content not talking to a lot of people that I could about the Lord. Because it's so easy to lose focus on what the Great Commission is. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Wow. So if you witness to one person, that's great. I realize some don't even do that. But if you witness to one person, guess what? That's a small part of the whole world, isn't it? It's a small part of the whole world. It's a small part of our duty that we really have to give the gospel out. And you know, when we get a renewed sense of the Great Commission, we begin to see everyone. We see more than Quantico. We see the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. I was going to say this earlier, but I'd like to invite some of you, if you, the Lord would lead you, to specifically fast on Wednesday or Thursday. We realize that we need to really have fasting and prayer to really be able to launch out and to really reach young people at the UWW campus. And it's tremendously a spiritual battle. It is really a spiritual battle. I explained this to some of the men the other day. I think I'll just talk with you for a minute. You know, in November, I think it was November, or was it last week in October? We had a men's retreat, Camp Joy. And we had a great time in the Word of God. And I felt like that there was a sense, a renewed sense of our role as men for the Lord and in the church. And there was some good response among the men, a real desire to recognize the importance of unity. And a number of men made the effort to be there. And we had a great time in the Word of God. And I felt like there was a sense among the men that were there of our responsibility as men to be spiritual leaders, and that that was really important. And so Monday night we were witnessing on the university campus like we normally would on Monday night. And Mrs. Bird was there. I was there. She was somewhere. Lydia was there. And you know what? We were talking to people and they were really open to the gospel. And I mean, it wasn't just like taking a tract. I mean, they were eager to hear. They were open. They were hungry for the Word of God. And Mrs. Bird said, you know, something's different tonight. She's saying, you know, something's different spiritually tonight. The whole receptivity of the gospel is different tonight. And I knew why. Because there was a work of God among the men on Friday and Saturday. And what happens in this place and what happens in our lives is the real issue whether people will hear the gospel and be saved or not. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. Sad to say, by next Monday, we had lost it. We had lost that power. What that meant, I don't know. Whether it meant that men got careless, whether that meant sins that were put aside had been gotten into again, what that meant, I don't know. But I know that the spiritual power was lost just so quickly. And really, the ministry is all about spiritual power. And it's about what's happening in our lives. And whether we're living for ourselves or we're living for the cause of Christ. That's what it's all about. But in that, just in that realm, we recognize that we have one of the greatest opportunities in the world to reach people for Christ. There's over 100 Saudi Arabian students at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. Nonetheless, not to talk about all those from China and the other, whatever, 30 countries of the world that are there, and there's no one reaching them. Crew isn't reaching them. InterVarsity isn't reaching them. Navigators, they aren't reaching them. Nobody is reaching them. Nobody has a vision for these people that God brought to our country so we could reach them. We need to have a renewed sense of our duty to get the gospel to every creature. We'd love to think, I'd love the fact if I would be on top of my spiritual life all the time, but it's not like that. You know, it's a battle of life. We get a focus and we lose it. We get a focus, we lose it. We get a focus, we lose it. But we need to have the focus of our duty of the gospel to reach the whole world for Jesus Christ. Every creature, not just one. Not just one once a year. Not just one once every 20 years. Though, all the time. Everywhere they went preaching the Word of God. We need to become more aware of the use of our time. We need to become more aware of the use of our time. You only have so much time. What are we going to do with our time? You know, we all have time. What are we going to do with that time? We're going to let it waste? We're going to let it used for nothing? Is it all going to be spent up on things that don't count? I'm not talking necessarily about bad things. I'm just talking about wasting the time because we only have a certain amount of time to reach people for Jesus Christ. And when our life is over, it's over, isn't it? It's over. There's one thing we can't do in heaven, that we can't reach people for Christ in heaven. We can serve God, we can praise God, we can fellowship with God, but we can't win souls in heaven. We only have a limited amount of time. We need to refocus and think about the time that we have in our lives. And maybe, young person, maybe you need to take a little clock of your time and just say, okay, what do I do with my time? And just say, take your life into 15-minute segments of what you do with your time. What you do with your time. What you do with your time on school nights. What you do with your time on Saturday night. What do we do with our time? I think most of us would be embarrassed if we stood before God with our time card and what we did with our time. When precious souls are lost and they're dying and we're using our time for things that don't count. We need to get a hold of our time and give our time to God. We need to, and it's hard to comprehend that we could miss this. We need to, again, be stirred with the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. He is coming again. Sammy Tippett tells a story of being in Romania. And a lot of persecution in Romania under the Iron Curtain, under communism. And there was a meeting. I might be mixing a couple stories up, but he is saying that he was in a church and he preached. And they decided that he would preach the next night in a different town. And so they made a meeting, a service in some other town the next night. And the place was packed. The church was full. People were standing outside looking in the windows. You know? And Sammy Tippett said we'd have to spend thousands and thousands of dollars and months in America to get that many people together to hear the gospel. But he said they just announced it and they were there. And as he was leaving, one of the Romanian believers slipped him a note. And on the note it said, Jesus is coming. The vibrancy and their fervency for God was related to the looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have apathy, or we can have passion. We can sleep away our life, or we can awake and use our life for God. We can get a hold of our life and decide that we're going to make this little bit of time that we have left, that we can make it, use it for the spreading of the Word of God. Or we can go to sleep and waste our time away. Waste it away on things that don't count. We all are spending our time for something. And Laodicean church was a church that was asleep. They knew not. They said they were rich, increased with goods, had need of nothing, but they knew not. They were wretched, poor, blind, naked, sleeping away without passion for a lost world. We face that same problem in an affluent society, every one of us. As we face a new year, redeeming the time for the days are evil. Buy it up. Don't let it get wasted. Decide you're going to use it, the time that you have, use it for God. You know, you might be spending a lot of time things that aren't bad. And the devil would be glad for that, because you aren't spending your time or my time for witnessing, winning others to Christ, praying, reading God's Word, getting close to God so we can have power with God. That's probably the sad description of the hour in which we live. A church without passion in these days. Let's pray. Lord, as we think tonight of the reality of the fact that many of us are sleeping away, and yet, Lord, our time needs to be redeemed. It needs to be taken up. We need to decide what we're going to use it for, rather than wasting it. And Lord, I pray that you will, through your Holy Spirit, guide each one of us. I pray you convict each one of us. I pray that even tonight, as we go home, we'll think about our time. what we're going to do with our time. Whether we're going to spend our evening on this or that, being entertained, or whether we're going to take purposely some of that time for the kingdom of God. I think of young people, Lord, taking their precious time, some of them wasting it in entertainment, accomplishing nothing for eternity, sleeping spiritually. Lord, we need you to work in our midst. Help us to be honest with you. Help us, Lord, perhaps there's sin. Just plain old sin in our life. It's taken away our passion and caused us to waste our life on sin. How sad. And so, Lord, I pray that you will awaken us as your people. With heads bowed and eyes closed, perhaps tonight the Lord is speaking to your heart. Maybe he's speaking to you about the fact that you're not saved. And you have fallen asleep, wasting your time on things that don't count. When right around the corner, it might be your last day, and you need to get saved. For it is appointed once unto man to die, and then the judgment. We don't know when the appointment is. Perhaps you're here tonight as a Christian, and thinking about your time, and what you're using your time for. Are we letting it slip when we could be letting it be used for God and the spread of the gospel? You're here tonight and you say, you know, the Lord definitely has brought me to a recognition of my life, a little picture of my life, and the lack of passion for souls, lack of passion for the spread of the gospel, and just how you've been going to sleep, wasting your time. And God has spoken to you about getting a hold of your time tonight. Buying it up for God. Identifying the things that waste your time. And now with that time available, investing it, committing it, making it available to the Lord for the spread of the gospel and his work. You hear tonight say, Pastor, yes, definitely, Lord has spoken my heart about my life and decisions I need to make tonight, maybe a very specific one. And the Spirit of God has dealt with you, say, just by an uplifted hand, kind of like a saying yes to the Lord. God has spoken my heart. I'm making that decision tonight. Okay? Number of hands all over the auditorium. Okay. Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. Others. Okay. Amen. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy. And even that we face the new year, that we could face it with this understanding of redeeming the time. Getting a hold of our time. Determining, Lord, that we're going to have a victory in with the time of our life rather than letting it be wasted in the light of eternity. And so, Lord, we give this invitation to you, even as God's people pray and think about the decisions they have made. Others yet may need to make them. Maybe, Lord, others, their heart is hard and they're resisting or not even can't even hear the voice of the Spirit of God because their heart is so hard. I pray that even tonight, as those realities are faced, that you would get the victory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Mr. Raines, come.